The point of reading the Bible and of preaching, which of course is my role this morning, is not merely to impart information. I could, for example, explain the reference that came near the end of that reading to Dan and Beersheba. It is simply a reference similar to one that we might make in this country if we were trying to say from the top to the bottom. We would say from Land's End to John o' Groats. So here is Dan up in the north of the country and Beersheba down here in the south. I could take some time to explain to you the difference between the role of the priest and the prophet in what was ancient Israel. And all of that would be extra information for you. But my question would be, how would it change you? How would your life be in any way transformed by knowing that Dan is in the north and Beersheba is in the south? Even if you remembered it till tomorrow lunchtime, which is perhaps unlikely, how would it alter your life? Coming before the Word of God is not about amassing information. The Word of God is about you now. It's about your life, your relationship with God and your relationship with others. And so we come to the Word of God, we must come to it with open hearts and minds, saying something like what Samuel said, "Speak to me, Lord. I am listening. What do you have to say to me? What do you have to say to us?" This is the nature of the Word of God. It's not a history book. It is real and alive and addresses us right now. So when we come to a passage like this one and anyone, we're reading it in the here and now, and that I wanted just to make clear at the beginning, lest we forget. So today we are introduced to Samuel, one of the first and the greatest of the prophets. As I was explaining, when the children were in, his mother saw him as a gift from God following her period of infertility. And in these days she had prayed insistently and incessantly for a child to be born to her. And what we have here is, folks, I think, the most wonderful description of prayer. Pouring out your soul to the Lord. Let me challenge you with a question. When was the last time you poured out your soul to the Lord? Maybe in anguish as Hannah was, or maybe with a bubbling over of thanksgiving, rejoicing. The motivation for it doesn't matter, but this is prayer. Not going through the motions, but the passion that is described here as Hannah poured out her soul to the Lord. Does that describe your prayer life, mine? I say again, when was the last time you poured out your soul to the Lord? Now, there are some of you here who can say, well, this week. Because you've been in a situation. When was the last time you poured out your soul to the Lord? And when you pray for our children in Malawi, are you pouring out your soul on their behalf before God? And when you pray to the men and women we minister to through our Havilah ministry? Are you pouring out your soul for those men and women that God might redeem them and give them new life? Does that in any way describe your prayer life? Or as we pray for the children in our church, as we pray for our community, as we pray for our nation, is there anything of that pouring out of the soul going on? Because if not, then it is time that it started. Hannah poured out her soul, and so should our prayer be. As we move into 2013, and following much consideration, we are going to introduce ways in this coming year, and beginning very soon, where we're going to seek to raise the profile of prayer within the congregation. Let me just tell you one or two things that you're going to see. Beginning very shortly, every Thursday night there's going to be prayer, corporate prayer offered here in the church. And whether that be two or three gathered together in God's presence, or 20 or 100, it matters not. We will be here every week, and every Thursday in life there will be prayer, as we pour out our souls before the Lord, for our congregation, for the needs of the town, for the world. Something else we're going to introduce that I hope many of you will subscribe to. It's going to be called something like our rapid response team for prayer. And what we're going to do is, using some new software, we're going to ask you to join a team, the rapid response team. All you'll need for this is to have a mobile phone. And then when a situation arises of real need and immediate need, then we'll be in a position to send out a text to everybody on this team. You'll get it at your work or in school or when walking the dog. You'll be able to look at your phone and you'll see the message. Please pray now for this person who's been rushed into hospital, or for whatever the situation. And in those moments, whether at your lunch break or in a quiet moment, we'll be asking you to pour out your soul for that prayer concern that we are bringing to you. So watch this space. We want lots of you to join that team. It will require of you very little, apart from that you have your phone and a willingness to pray where and when the need arises. So Hannah prayed in this way. And her promise was, as part of her prayer, that if she was granted the gift of a child, she would dedicate the child to God for all of his life. Now, although this is what Hannah did, folks, I want to say, it's not a practice necessarily to be recommended on a regular basis. This kind of deal-making with God. If you do this, then I will do that. That's a dangerous road to go too far down. For two reasons. One, most often when God answers a prayer, we forget our part of the deal. And number two, God acts not because of what we might do in return. He acts according to his own purpose. So we don't need to persuade him to do what he is going to do. I'm not criticizing Hannah. She was in deep despair, and this is the way she went. I'm just saying, don't start doing it every day. Praying to God and saying, if you answer this prayer, I will do this and that and the next thing. Even though this is what Hannah did and she was faithful. Many forget, but Hannah was faithful and kept her promise. And so when Samuel was old enough, she did indeed dedicate him to God. And he grew up there in the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And there he was under the authority of the high priest of the time, who was Eli. I want to say something about this. There are limits to what we can learn on our own. Sure, you can sit down with your Bible on your own. You can try to learn on your own, but there will always be limits to the extent of your learning. We all, and I mean all of us, need teaching. Formally, for example, in church, and informally as well. What I'm saying is that we need to learn from someone or some other people. Just as Samuel was there under Eli. In other words, learning from Eli's wisdom and experience, so we need the same kind of people in our lives. Especially, I want to say to you this, if you are a new Christian, if you are relatively new to this idea of following Jesus, you really should try to seek out someone else, or a group of people, perhaps through a home group and so on. People who you can be under, as Samuel was under Eli. Not that these people will lord it over you or boss you around, not at all. But that you can learn from their wisdom and experience. That's why Samuel was there learning from Eli, and we too need the same kind of people in our lives. You won't grow as a Christian very far on your own. And so the scene is set for this well-known and much-loved part of the story, the bed in the temple and Samuel at night. It's what we call the calling of Samuel during the night. And his initial mistaking of that voice for his master Eli. I think there are two reasons why at first Samuel didn't recognize it was the voice of God. First of all, this had never happened to him before. He'd never sensed God speaking to him before. Though he was there daily living in God's presence, he had not yet come to know God personally for himself. And so when God prompted him, when God moved in his heart speaking to him, Samuel didn't recognize the voice. This comes through time. Maybe there are some here today thinking, well, I just don't know what this is all about. God speaking to me. Maybe, like Samuel, that's because you've never heard from God in that way. I encourage you to continue and to be open and to pray. Lord, speak. Speak to me. It's not that it's always going to be like it was for Samuel, an actual voice perhaps, but watch out. God addresses us in all kinds of different ways. And the second reason why I think that Samuel didn't recognize God at first was this. We read that in those days the word of the Lord was rare. I wonder why that is. And secondly, I wonder if it describes well our day and age. Might it be said that in these days the word of the Lord is rare and that visions are few? And if that is so, then let me ask further. Might it be because we're not truly expecting God to speak? Not really expecting that God will reveal himself and show himself to us? Are we genuinely expecting that God will still act in his world? Do we really believe that he's still alive in this world today? Because if we're not, and that's the big danger, then we will find that this will describe our age. The word of the Lord will be rare indeed because we weren't even listening, weren't even expecting him to speak. So the question is, at what level is your anticipation set? When you come here on a Sunday, when you open your Bible, when you pray, are you anticipating that God will come to you? If not, then don't get too excited. So after this rigmarole, Samuel back and forward to his bed through the night, Eli tells him, of course, first of all, that it wasn't me, but after the repetition, Eli eventually comes to see what is really happening. That it is God speaking into Samuel's heart. And so he advises Samuel to be ready. If you hear the voice again, this is what to do. And so it came to pass. Once more, Samuel was awakened in the night by the voice, the word of the Lord. And as Eli had instructed him, Samuel's response was this: "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." In my notes right here before me now, I've got a big line around that. Because this is the key. This is the crux of today's passage. And this is a bit you need to grab hold of. Just as Samuel, before God, readied himself and opened himself to what God had to say, so we must, with that same attitude of mind and spirit, be bowed before God. Opening ourselves to him day by day and saying these very words: "Speak, Lord, to me, for I, your servant, am listening." Because you know there are decisions that need to be made in your life. There are daily choices. There are questions of how you live your life. And you need God guiding you. When you are in the thick of it, when troubles are all around you, you need to hear from God his comforting words. And in every situation, so let us memorize, let us commit to our hearts the response of Samuel, that we might make it our own day by day. On our knees before God, let us say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Humbly, fully aware of the relationship. He is the Lord, we are the servants. Entirely open to what God would say. And making ourselves wholly available to him. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And just as Samuel displays this submission to God and his word, so in the end of it all does Eli, about whom the word was concerned. The word that came to Eli was unpalatable, not at all what he would have wanted to hear. But when it comes to listening to God, our job is not to try and change God's mind, to get him to see things our way. Before the word of God, we can answer only as Eli did. Let him do what is good in his eyes. In other words, in our prayers and in our seeking God, not telling God what we want him to do, but believing that he already knows and that he knows what is best for us in our lives, and so saying to God, "Do it as you see fit. Unfold it in my life as you see fit, because you know better than I do myself." That was how Samuel prayed, that was how Eli prayed, and of course, classically, it was how Jesus prayed. On the night before he died, on the night in which he was arrested and tried, when he could have prayed 101 things, the one thing he prayed was this: Lord, let it be according to your plan, your will, not mine. In other words, Jesus, even Jesus was saying, if there's another way we can do this, let's do it. But no, your way. My question, have you got, or can you get to that place in your life when you're able to say to God, your will be done? Are you at that place, or can you get to that place in life when truly you can hand over your life, your future, into God's hands and say, I'm trusting you. Completely trusting you because I believe you do it best. That handing over of your life, less of what I want and more of what you want, Lord. Are you there? Are you getting there? Can you move more further down that road of handing over to God? This is what the story of Samuel challenges us to do with our lives. Hand them over. One final thing. God spoke to Samuel that day. It appears very clearly, unmistakably. But it is as well to say that that's not an everyday experience. So don't go away today expecting that starting now and every day you will hear this voice in your head. I don't think it will be like that. God will speak to you, and I'm sure in all kinds of different ways. But I'm finishing with what I said to the children. The clearest and most reliable way for you to hear what God is saying is through Scripture. Through the Word of God. I guess you can say, well, I heard God speaking to me. There's always a danger you heard someone else's voice. But with the Bible opened, God's revealed Word, there's no disputing it. It's His once and for all Word. Still and always the most reliable way of hearing what God has to say. Samuel found God revealing Himself to him through His Word. Folks, if you are not reading your Bible, you are going to struggle to hear God speaking to you. End of subject. He can do it in other ways. He perhaps will do it in other ways, but first and foremost, through His Word. It's there, given to you. If you're not reading your Bible, don't come back in a year and say to me, I haven't heard God speaking to me yet. No surprise there. Open your Bibles and discover, as Samuel did, that He will reveal Himself to you through His Word. Now, you might remember where Dan is in Beersheba in ancient Israel. If you choose, remember that. But see all the other stuff that I've just been through. Make sure you remember that. It's much more important. Let's pray.